I just want to say quickly thanks to everybody for just taking part. I think it's so beautiful when the church is just in agreement. Like, we agree that we care about refugees. We agree that we love worship. We agree that we honor each other. It just makes it so much more powerful, and I just want to say thank you. Last week, if you were here, you saw me cry on stage again because I felt as though I was putting my message before God's strategy, before his ideas. Like, I was so excited to share that I didn't make room for anything else, and so I came up here, I apologized. And what we did was we broke off into men and women, and we just shared, like, struggles that we're going through. And the reason for that, I believe, is because we're speaking about identity, but so many of us just aren't known by each other. So many of us don't share about our struggles. So many of us are so afraid of rejection or judgment or whatever it is. And even today I sat down with somebody, and when I went home, I told my wife, and I began to cry when I told her about this meeting, because this person that went through something, and they said, man, like, basically, do you still want me around? And I said, I don't care about what you've done. I care about your heart. And he began to cry, and then when I went home, I was in the bathroom with my wife. She was doing her makeup or something. And then I told her, and then I went into the kitchen. She was like, where'd you go? And I was like, trying to keep my tears up. And I went back. She was like, were you crying? And I was like, dang it. Looked in the mirror, my eyes were all red. I thought I hit it. But it's just, it's such a hard and stressful thing to try to be known and to share ourselves with our friends and to be vulnerable and open. And last week we went that way, and I believe that there's going to be even more vulnerability and openness as we move forward. But I think we have to agree on it. Like I said, agreement is how we overcome things. Because I'm not going to go to somebody who I know is going to judge me when I've agreed to love them when they come to me. Like, if I go to somebody, we need to be in agreement that, like, we're going to be like Jesus and love each other and help each other. It can't be one way. It's got to be all of us. So all of us in this room have to make that agreement as sons and daughters of God, that we have to love first. When someone comes to you and says, hey, like, I stumbled into this sin, or I gossiped about you, or this happened, it's really hard, let me tell you. But you have to make that decision to be in agreement with Christ, that you're going to love first. It's hard. It's really hard. But what, like, if following Christ was easy, I mean, like, why did he die? You know what I mean? Like, we got to do the things that are hard because he's so worth it. We gotta get over the fact that sometimes things aren't going to be so easy. I think that's hard with the American church, is that church is set up just perfect for us. So we go in the real world, we're like, oh, someone was rude to me? Where's my gift? It's my first time at Olive Garden. Where's my gift for the new sign up? You know what I mean? Where's the worship team? Why is everybody being rude or whatever? Like, there's a real world out there, and we're the ones that are called to love. But we can't love if we don't know our identity. We can't love if we don't know love himself. Does that make sense? And so I was thinking about this, praying about this, and God put it on my heart to speak about how he sees us, but also how he doesn't see us. I believe that who we are is just as important as who we are not. You could say that you know you're loved, but you still think that you're a sinful person. But you know you're loved, but you're still sinful. You look at yourself as sin. You see, I know God loves me, I know he forgives me, but I don't look at myself as an overcomer. Anyone ever felt like that? Maybe you know that God loves you, but you can't overcome something because your identity isn't in his victory, it's just in his love. But he surrounds everything about us. Our story is wrapped up in his victory. And so tonight, as we move forward in identity, I want us to understand that we can't get our identity from anything else, from anybody else, and we need to quit asking. We keep looking at social media, all these things, what is a style? Even simple things like music. Like, I only listen to some type of music, and so that makes me this type of person. I only dress this certain way. I'm trying to reach a certain aesthetic so I can look like this type of person, or I want to work at this job because that's who I am. I'm a barista, and I'm known as I'm a really good barista, or whatever it is. When I was in YWAM, I was a missionary. I want to be the best missionary, and my identity was caught up in what all the other famous missionaries around me were doing, and I was trying to reach a certain point and look like them, and man, I want to go overseas. I don't even care about a lot of the countries I went to. I didn't have a heart for them because I went for myself. I wanted to post on Facebook, look where I'm going. I remember when I went to Nepal, I was so excited to post and tell people. That's gross. That's abuse. It is. To look at a certain place and to say, like, man, I'm doing this because I want to be seen this certain way. I want to buy these clothes because I want everybody to look at me and say, oh, that's his identity. But really, it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks about you. Quit asking. Quit searching for that answer. Because you're going to keep trying. You've been trying this long. You're going to keep trying because you're not running to the answer. If we get our identity from anything other than God, we'll always be searching. Some of you have felt dry for a long time. And you're realizing slowly, and even now I think it's an important day for you, that you're gonna have to look at God. Sometimes God's going to strip things away from you because he's begging you to look at him. You'll have a job that you think is perfect. You're like, oh, I finally made it. This is my destiny. And God will fire you. You'll get fired. The job will fade away. And you'll say, what the heck? I thought I was this. And he'll say, no, you're mine. Wherever you go, you're mine. It has to be settled in our hearts. It has to be settled in our hearts that we know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm a child of God. It's not a cheesy song. It's not a slogan. Wherever you go, no matter what obstacle is in your way, it has to be settled in your heart that you're a child of God. Because if it's not, the enemy knows right where to go, to your identity. How are you going to fight somebody if you don't even know why you're fighting? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? This has to be important to us, more important than anything else, who God is and why we're here. It has to be settled in us. And I want to just read some truths because I think we're so often told Jesus loves you, God loves you. There's a guy that comes into Building Theory where I work, and every time he leaves, he says, Jesus loves you. And I remember at first, I was a little bit annoyed. I'm like, don't just like say that. That was my religious spirit. Actually, I should have just said thank you. Jesus loves you too. But I remember at first I was upset. It's like, no, you can't just throw that around. But I realized that this guy like actually meant it. And it was hard for me because I grew up just seeing it as a slogan. Seeing it as something just my mom would say or whatever. Like I went to a youth group and people would say, Jesus loves you. And I'd say, I know, I heard that last week, dude. I heard that 3 months ago. You know what I mean? And I never came into a real relationship because I always saw it as just a saying, and it wasn't a real thing to me. And so I looked in the Bible. I spent time. I took time in the Bible for you guys. You're welcome. And I read some things. I wrote some things down that are true that the Bible says about us. So the first one is that you have been accepted. And this is in Romans 15:7. Receive one another then, just as Christ also received you, to God's glory. You have been accepted by God. Those who are in Christ Jesus are in Christ Jesus. That's us in this room. You have been accepted. Whether your parents didn't accept you, your friends don't accept you, you're trying to dress a certain way, live a certain way, live a certain place because you want everybody to accept you, it's not going to happen. The minute that you change, they're going to push you away again. But you got to look at the real truth is that God accepts you, and that's the only person that's really going to accept you. People will say they love you. People can love you. But that acceptance is something that it's a missing piece in us. And we got to look at God. The next thing is that you are redeemed. I am redeemed and forgiven by the grace of Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. You are redeemed. You may think you're too far gone, but he's redeemed you. You got to live in that way. If you're trying to walk, but you're thinking about the past, you're not going to see the future and you're going to stumble over things. How can I run a race when I'm looking this way? Oh, I used to be angry. I used to be sinful. And there's freedom over there, but there's things in the way. There's going to be things in the way. People are rude to you, whatever. Bills come up. You're stressed out. You have a family problem. You have an addiction you need to overcome. But if you could walk in redemption, you'd say, man, I'm ready because I'm prepared for this roadblock, and I'm going to leap over it by the grace of God. But if you're looking back, how can you know where you're meant to go? That's putting God in the wrong area. He needs to be here. He is here. Look at him. You are redeemed. The next is that you are alive with Christ. This is Ephesians 2:4 through 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. How many of you guys have ever felt dry before? Raise your hand. It's okay. All of us, almost all of us have felt dry. I felt dry. This week was a really hard week. But when I came up here, maybe you saw me jumping. There's a lot of sweat under this beanie right now because I decided to look at Christ. And you know what? I felt alive. You know why we don't feel alive? Because we're focusing on things that aren't Christ. Some of you guys say, I'm not motivated. I don't have energy. I don't have passion. What is my gifting? I've preached about this before. But guys, God is the one that gives. He's the one that gives. Everything else is going to take. Everything else is going to take. Even if you work in a Christian organization, it's going to take if you're not doing it for Christ. I felt dry by the end of my YWAM run because I was not doing it for God. Maybe a percentage of me was, but I think God wanted something new and I wanted to stay because I wanted to look a certain way, live a certain way. I felt like I was more holy because I went overseas. It's not true. It's not true. Being a leader in a church does not make you more holy. It makes you more stressed. I love you all. But I mean, to be alive with Christ, we got to be alive with Christ. You can't be alive without Christ. We're created by God for good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so we may do them. So if you don't want to work, if you don't want to serve, you're not going to know. Look at what it says right here. Look what it says. God prepared beforehand so we may do them. Okay. So everybody that doesn't want to work, doesn't want to use their giftings for God, you're going to be the ones that are dry. You're going to be the ones that are tired. Because God set these things up for you beforehand. So he wanted you to be a part of this story. He wanted you to be a co-laborer with Christ. So many of us are so afraid of becoming more concerned with the works than the spirit or whatever people say. But let me tell you, it goes hand in hand. Faith without good deeds is dead. If we live for Christ, we're going to want to do good things for other people. I was telling Brooke, it was my birthday 5 days ago, and I was telling Brooke, I was like, man, I was thinking about getting some people some gifts for their birthday, and it made me like happy. We were just talking in the car. And, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago, I don't think it would have made me happy to give somebody a gift. I don't think it would have made me happy to give. But because I've seen that the good deeds actually are for the Lord, I love serving. I actually love serving. I love giving. You know why? Because I'm not giving for myself anymore. I used to do it for myself. They didn't say thank you. I'm like, give me that gift back. But the reality is that it's not for you. So get over yourself. It's not for you. I had to get over myself. I would give a gift to somebody, and one time I saw somebody re-gift it, and man, it's at a white elephant party at a youth group. I was young. I was angry. And now looking back, it doesn't even matter. I let it go. I think I let it go. Let's move forward. I'm just kidding. I did let it go, I think. You can have peace, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, verse 7. You can have peace. Some of you struggle with anxiety. Some of you struggle with stress. I struggle with stress. I struggle with sleepless nights, worrying about things, worrying about how my kids are going to go to school, worrying about how am I going to be able to be full-time at the church. I'm so tired of working 3 jobs, all these things. But I can have peace through Christ because his peace surpasses all understanding. So if you're trying to get peace, stop trying to think it up here and think it up there. So God, how can I have peace? And he'll just say, there you go. I trust the word. I trust the word of God. There's not a weird slogan I could think of, a mathematical equation. He said he'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. You got to get out of your head. You can't have spiritual peace with earthly wisdom. You cannot. You got to get your head up there with God. It's possible. Next, you are a child of God. But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children. But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, that's us in this room, he has given the right to become God's children. That's John 1:12. Let me tell you, maybe your parents are rude to you. Maybe you were adopted. Maybe you were abandoned. But let me tell you right now, in this house, you're a child of God and nothing can take that away from you. No man can take that away from you. No failure can take that away from you. There is nothing on earth. Some of you are looking. You're searching. You're wondering, what is the cause? Who loves me? Who cares about me? And it's God. You're his child. Maybe you don't have the best parents, and I'm sorry for that. I honestly don't think that because your parents were rude to you, you just need to get over it. I think there's a healing process. I believe that God can work through it, but I also believe that we need to understand that we're a child of God and that people are people, but he is God and we're his children, and it's simple. It can seem stressful, but it's simple. When you feel alone, some of you have felt alone this week. When you feel alone, when you feel like nobody cares, when you need to be comforted, you need to look to God and say, just sit in your room, turn the lights off, whatever you need to do to feel open. But just look at God and just say, God, I feel like I'm alone. Just be real with him. You don't have to like say some crazy prayer. Just be real with God, and he'll be real with you. And he says in his word that you guys are children of God, that I'm a child of God. See, these are things that need to be settled in us, that we know without a doubt that we are loved and created and redeemed and alive because of Christ's love. It needs to be settled in us so that we can move forward. Because there's some things in our life, and everybody's life in this room, I'm going to look at all of you, there is something in the future for you that God has. But if you don't get it settled in your heart, you're not going to be ready. You're going to be looking back, or you're going to be fearful. And you know what fear is? A lie. Fear is not from God. You think I'm not scared up here? Not looking at me. You can think whatever you want to think. But I don't feel fear. You know why? Because of God. Because if God said do it, it must be worth it. If God says give your car away, it must be worth it. If God says give all your money away, it must be worth it. If God says take this job, quit this job, move forward, stop being friends with these people, move to this place, whatever, it must be worth it. We think we know better than God sometimes. Let me tell you that we don't. We don't. And I trust God. I believe in his word that if we can get these things settled in our hearts, we can walk with confidence, knowing who we are. So many of us spend a whole lot of time trying to become who we already are. So many of us spend a whole lot of time trying to become who we already are. We think we can do something to earn it, but it's already decided who we are. It's already decided. When Jesus died on that cross, the veil was torn, which means that we could walk into the room, into the throne room with God, and just be with him. It was torn, so it's open, so we walk in. But so many of you are saying, oh, I'm sinful, I'm angry, I'm full of lust, I'm pointless, I never hold true to my word, I'm too tired, I'm weak. But God's saying, the door is open. Why are you telling me that you can't go when I literally died so that you could go? Some of us got to wake up. Somebody shout, I am, please. Somebody shout, I am, come on. Somebody shout, I am, come on. Okay, I'm going to count from three because I'm not going to go to a church that's sleeping. Come on. One, two, three, I am. One, two, three, I am. You got to get a little bit of attitude where you kind of like twitch a little bit because you're so confident. One, two, three, I am. When the enemy comes at you, you're going to say, oh, no, no, no. No, I'm not sinful. I'm not angry. I'm not weak. I'm a child of God. You got it. But here's the catch, guys. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. We got to understand who we're not. Who we are not. Let me tell you. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We are not ones that live in fear. Some of you guys could have a prophecy. You could have a word. You could have a prayer. And the Lord will tell you to come up here. And we're a pretty open church. We ask that you tell us what it is, you know, that way we can discern it and ask the Lord. But we're a pretty open church, and if you feel like there's a word for you, but you feel that fear, I wonder where that fear is from. I wonder why the enemy wouldn't want you to share it. You know why? Because it's breaking off that attitude of fear. The enemy wants you to know. He wants you to think. He wants you to believe that you are too fearful to move forward. Let me tell you what. My Bible says that I'm not afraid. Come on. I wish you'd all get excited. My Bible says that I am not afraid, that I would not walk in fear. But if you feel fear coming up, you got to understand it's not from God. Don't be surprised when these things come at you. Don't be surprised. You're a child of God. Do you think it's just going to let that slide, the enemy? No. You are also not condemned. Romans 8:1, There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not condemned. Maybe somebody told you you are, but you're not. My Bible is true. I'm not condemned. I walk in freedom. Maybe I stumble, I sin, whatever, I repent. I say, God, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? I move forward. Repent actually means to turn and never do that again. It means to do the opposite. It means to walk away. It doesn't just mean to apologize. Repent means to change. And so I repent to God. I say, God, I want to change. With your grace, I'm going to change. I'm sorry, Lord, I ask for forgiveness. And you know what he says? You're forgiven. And then he stops. And then I read Romans 8:1, and it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then I walk forward. And you know what else I'm not? I'm not weak. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You're not weak. You're not weak. When I ask people to shout amen, maybe you felt weak. It's going to feel natural at some point. We're going to get weird up in here. Next week, we're all going to shout. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. Who knows? If the Lord says to do it, you bet we're going to do it. But we're not weak. So many of us, even me, a lot of the time I'll say, man, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I'm up with my kids all night. I got a lot of excuses, guys. I got 2 kids. I can make a lot of excuses. There is poop everywhere at my house all the time. I can make a lot of excuses that I'm tired, but you know what? I'm not weak. And so when I feel tired, I realize that that's me thinking about me. That's me relying on me. If you feel weak, you're relying on yourself. It's true. He didn't give us a spirit of weakness. He gave us a spirit of power. You are not worthless. John 3:1, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I meant to say John 3:16. I think I just thought I would know it, but I just messed it up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So you're not worthless. You're worth so much. You're worth his son. Maybe some of you guys feel worthless in here tonight. Let me tell you, you're not. You're not worthless. You are not worthless. There is something for you. There's so much for you. And it's not something that somebody is going to do for you. It's something that God has set up for you to live through. If you listen to him, it's going to be set up. If you don't, you're going to have to find your way eventually. You're going to stumble. You're going to go through these things, and you're going to think that you're worthless when you get off his path because you're not living where he wants you to live. Some of you may feel that way right now, but let me tell you, you're not worthless, and you can get back where you need to be. You're also not meant to live in anxiety. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Cast your anxieties on him. Those of you that struggle with anxiety, cast it on him. He wants to take it from you. If my son was struggling with a sickness, you bet in a second I would take that from him. No doubt in my mind. If my wife struggled with a sickness, I would take that from her. There is no doubt in my mind. Even if my closest friends, I would take it. But with my kids and my family, without a shadow of a doubt. And imagine how God feels. When we believe that we're a child of God, it's even easier to believe that we don't need to live in anxiety. Because he wants us to cast our anxieties on him. You are not alone. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You're not alone. So now we choose to believe. We've heard these things, and now we choose to believe. Now we get to decide and believe his word and allow his love for us to become our identity. So many of us keep trying to become what everyone thinks that we are. Your parents told you you're worthless. Your friends told you, oh, you can't be taken seriously. You can't do this. You can't do that. Oh, I know your work ethic. You'll never get that job. And so you just become what they told you. Or maybe somebody told you something that seemed good. Hey, I know you're meant to be a businessman. Your parents think you're great with money, whatever. I know you're going to work. You're going to make tons of money, whatever. But you feel a call to sell everything and go overseas. What do you do? What do you believe? Is your identity caught up in what your mama wants you to do or what your God wants you to do? You got to make that choice right now. You got to make that choice. Some of us, your parents could be right too, so ask the Lord, because I believe in the discernment of a mother. So there is this unhealthy striving to make mom and dad proud or our friends, and really our identity is found in making sure we prove everyone right. But we just read a small piece of what God says about us. And if we don't believe it because it's too good to be true, then how are we ever going to move forward in our faith? Some of us say, there's no way. There's no way that I'm set free. There's no way that I'll be alive in Christ. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I do in the secret place by myself when no one's looking. You don't know what I do, God. And he's saying, I do. And I'm asking you to make a decision and to believe or to not believe. God hates when we're lukewarm. The American church has been lukewarm. And God is asking us to jump the fence. Maybe you can't see the bottom, but he's asking you to jump. And if you read the Bible and you trust it, you know you're going to be okay. That's how God works. He didn't care if we deserved it or not. He said, I want you. He saw you dirty and broken and prideful and said, that's what I want, and I'll pay the price to get it. He saw you and said, I'll pay any price, and he did. And then he rose up again because it couldn't hold him. Even then, he was too good. Can the worship team come back up here? We're gonna end with a song, and this is a perfect song. But I'm just going to ask that everybody can stand and we can spread out again. We're going to do something just a little bit different. So stand up, spread out. Let's stay in this attitude, please. Because, guys, this is a night. This is a night where we get to make a choice, and it's not just a service time. Yeah, it's okay to come to the front. We're going to make a choice. We're just going to declare these things over us. And I know it's cheesy, I know it's weird, but I felt like we just got to do it. So can everyone just close your eyes? Everyone close your eyes. I want you to say, I am chosen. I want you to say, I am forgiven. I want you to say, I am loved. I want you to say, I am chosen. I want you to say, I am forgiven. I want you to say, I am loved. I want you to say, I am chosen. With a little power, I am forgiven. With a little power, I am loved. God, we thank you right now, Jesus, that you have called us to things that we could not see, to things that we could not do, because you said, I love you. And God, right now, we make that choice to believe in what you said. We're waking up from our slumber. We're waking up from this weak place. We're rising up. We were dead in the grave, but now we're kicking the dirt off. And you're God, you're picking us up and you're wiping off the mud, the leaves. And you're saying, look at you, you look beautiful. Somebody say, I am chosen. Somebody say, I'm forgiven. I am loved. Doesn't it feel good? I want you to say it and believe it. We're going to say it like 100 more times. Just kidding, probably 3. But I really want us to get this because the church is so afraid to raise their voice. They want to be quiet and sit in the pew and wait for somebody to say, here you go, here you go. Go clean the toilets, little servant. But God's saying, there's so much more. You can clean the toilets now, but I want you to know that I love you regardless. God is saying, I love you right now. You're believing things that are not true. Let them go. You think you're worthless, you're not. You think you're last pick, you were the first pick. Somebody say, I'm chosen. I'm forgiven. I am loved. And when we go into this song, I'm gonna ask you to get a little attitude with it. I'm gonna ask you to get a little power. Because if you have felt weak and if you have felt dry, it's not because of God. He's waiting for you. He's right up. He's in this room right now, and he's saying, I'm ready for you. I've been waiting for this day for a long time. And if you don't know what to sing, if you don't know what to say, just say, I'm chosen, I'm forgiven, I'm loved. I could have wrote down 100 more things, because God has called us our identity to be found in him. He's called us his children. He's called us saved. He's called us sanctified. He's called us worthy. You know why? Because he loved us so much that he would do anything it took for us to be a little bit closer. And tonight you have a choice to get a little bit closer But if you're going to sit there and not look at him, you're going to miss out on the opportunity. Somebody say, I am chosen. Somebody say, I'm forgiven. Oh boy, I am loved. And I'm not afraid to say it. I am chosen. I'm forgiven. I am loved. Somebody celebrate right now. We love you, God. Lift your voice. Come on. We are not weak. We are not quiet. Jesus, we love you. Let's sing to him. Come on.